Hello everyone, you're very welcome along on this latest audio walk from Open Country and Bolton Abbey. I have a feeling that we're going to get our steps in today as we set off on an epic adventure to one of the highest points on the Bolton Abbey estate, Simon's Seat. On this 8.25 mile walk, I'm expecting some spectacular views, some interesting wildlife encounters, and plenty of things to titivate our senses as we carry on through various different aspects of the Bolton Abbey estate landscape, from the rolling hills and moorland to the riverside idyll of Strid Wood. It's all to come, so stay tuned and let's put our best foot forward as we walk up Simon's Seat. We've just started walking along the banks of the River Wharfe, and now we've turned right up a steep slope through this beautiful patch of wild garlic, which is smelling absolutely divine. And it's just this hillside dotted with white flowers, all pom-pom shaped and catching the sunlight that's emanating through the trees. Already making me feel like we're in for a good walk today. And we're on the right path because I'm just stood next to a sign as I catch my breath saying Simon's Seat via the Valley of Desolation. We've now left the woods and we're entering into open farmland. The landscape changes quite quickly on this walk as we venture through different parts of the Bolton Abbey estate. From the wild garlic of the woods, we can now see swathes of grassland, and above that, the russet brown colours of the moorland over which we'll be heading a little bit later on. And ahead of us, a winding track up the Valley of Desolation, which is tempting me on what is an absolutely stunning day for a walk. We've just been met with the first challenging little section of this walk up Simon's Seat today, as we've met Posfath Gill Beck. The path is winding down through a series of oak groves over some rocky terrain. In sections, it is quite boggy as well. I'm really having to be careful where I put my feet. But that's quite difficult to do as I keep my eyes on my surroundings, which are absolutely beautiful. The trees bursting with fresh green leaves, the sound of the water running over the rocks, and the cacophony of birdsong that is surrounding me in the trees that flank this Valley of Desolation. I can see a bridge ahead of us, which is going to take us up towards the waterfall Posfath Gill, which I'm really looking forward to. Although it looks like there's some more tricky terrain ahead. So let's keep our wits about us at the same time as enjoying this stunning landscape. Managed to navigate the tricky terrain and we've made it to Posfath Gill Waterfall, which is flowing really nicely today. Down from a height of about 10 to 15 metres, it's quite a tall waterfall. That's interesting, I've just seen a dipper fly down the stream past me out of one of the cracks in the rock on the waterfall edge. I'm wondering whether they've got a nest started there. There's two prongs of water coming down over the falls. It is crashing down white over the dark rock and contrasting beautifully with the green moss that surrounds it. It's a lovely little spot to have a picnic, although on this epic trip up Simon's Seat, I think I'm going to press on and make the most of the surroundings and avoid the spray which is being carried on the breeze off the waterfall and into my face. So let's carry back on to the track and up past the waterfall, deeper and deeper up the Valley of Desolation towards the bleak moors ahead. I'm starting to leave the cacophony of the sound of running water behind now as we head up out of Posforth Gill and up towards the moors beyond. I've got this lovely scene in front of me where we've got this series of forget-me-not flowers which are glowing this very light sky blue colour all around the side of the path, and that's leading up through some trees to an intriguing kissing gate in a dry stone wall at the very top of the path. It's one of those things that always draws me in and encourages me to put one foot in front of the other. It's one of the things that I love about walking, the intrigue of what's to come with these little snapshots of things that just pull you towards them. Also, something to note at my feet here, there's a series of what's known as mare's tail. It's this sort of spiky looking plant, although it's quite soft, that sticks up quite erectly in the air with these fronds of green coming off them. They like quite damp ground. There is a bit of a stream coming down off the side of the hill here. But it's quite an interesting sight, these regimented plants all leading my way through the forget-me-nots. Well, the kissing gate in the wall has done everything it promised in that intrigue that it created. We've now met a wider track that's taking us through this very desolate landscape. This is an old pine forest which some of it has been cut down to make room for the habitat to thrive underneath. But now, as I look back from where we've come, up through the Valley of Desolation, the views are starting to appear. Wharfdale is stretching out beyond, with dappled light caressing the surface of the fields and the trees, which are glowing green. And around us, the green is quickly turning to brown and russet reds as we approach the moorland's fringes. It's also got a little bit chillier as well. The breeze is not being sheltered now from those trees, so we're getting the full brunt of it. It's making me realise why this valley is called the Valley of Desolation. We've just arrived at a very interesting gate. The thing about this gate that's interesting is not necessarily its wooden structure, although it has been very well constructed. It's more the fact that it marks the boundary between two very contrasting landscapes. Looking back, I can see the rolling, green, verdant valley of the Valley of Desolation. And ahead of us, I can see the bleak moorland over which we'll be climbing to access Simon's Seat. So let's venture beyond this gate and see what adventures await us. The path's really starting to climb now as we head closer and closer to our destination of Simon's Seat. We're surrounded by brown colours, really. There is quite a bit of green starting to come through of the bilberry and the new shoots of bracken that are starting to poke through. But the heather and the died-off bracken from last year is providing this very brown, rusty red sort of coloured landscape in front of us. Of course, by the time we get to August, The heather flowers will all be out, casting this beautiful pinky purple hue across the landscape. But the brown landscape that we've got is just being punctuated by the white track that we're walking up, that is snaking its way further and further up onto the moor. As a curious bee hovers round, also the sound of the birds has been replaced from the woodland birds in the valley below. We've now got the cry of pheasants and grouse that call this location home. And often you can hear a skylark tittering above, serenading us on our journey. It's all there to make the climb a little bit more bearable and a little bit more worth it as we start our winding way up towards the summit. I've just heard a cuckoo over in the trees to our left. Now, because I'm recording, it'll stay completely quiet. And you're going to think, Tom, you're just using it as an excuse to take a breather as you wind your way up this steep track. But I promise you, it was there and I did hear it. And if it does come and make a sound again, I'll try and make sure that I'm recording when it does. Oh, I think this is an excuse for a breather. It really is quite a steep path. If you've ever done any hill walking, then I think you'll be able to sympathise with me in this current situation, as we've just got to the top of this first big climb and seen that there's another one just ahead, above the crest of the horizon, which is one of those sort of downheartening feelings that you get on these sort of things. But let's not be downhearted, because we can turn around and have a breather and take in some of these fantastic views that are starting to come out all around us. I can see right across towards Rumbold's Moor at the end of the Wharfe Valley in the Yorkshire Dales. And that's framed by the hill called Beamsley Beacon. And then at the other side, I can just about make out the wind turbines that are atop the moors above Hebden Bridge and Todmorden. So that just goes to show how far I can see on this beautiful, clear, crisp day. I'll take a few more breaths and then we shall carry on as we crest the next little hill on our journey up to Simon's Seat. The summit of Simon's Seat is now in sight. The line of gritty rocks that atop the moorland is just poking out above the horizon and once again calling us forward. I can see that the path twists around a bit, so we've got a little bit further to walk, but we're nearly there, and I can't wait to experience what we can find at the very top. Wow, we've made it to the summit of Simon's Seat. What an achievement. Although it's quite a climb, I can tell you that what's at the top of here is well worth it. So rewarding. In amongst these grit stone pillars, where I'm just finding some shelter from the breeze that's whipping across the valley and the hill. The views have opened up of Wharfedale and the surrounding hills, and with the sun caressing the valley below, it really is out of this world. I can see right up to the top of the Wharfe Valley via the top of Kilnsey Crag, Grass Wood, the town of Grassington, Threshfield Quarry, the village of Burnsell and Appletrewick just in the valley below me. And then across to the other side, I can make out the water glinting in the sun of Grimwith Reservoir and right over the other side, Thorpe Fell and Barden Reservoirs. And towering above that, way in the distance, is the majestic structure of Pendle Hill over in Lancashire, which is framing the view that we saw earlier down towards the towns of Ilkley and Skipton, Beamsley Beacon, and then beyond there, even out across Airedale, Leeds, Castleford, and this towering structure of Drax Power Station way out towards the east of Yorkshire. This hill really does give you a really wide perspective of your surroundings, and on a day like this, I couldn't wish to be anywhere better. It's quite an intriguing name, isn't it, Simon's Seat? There's actually two stories from which the name is said to have derived. Depending on which one you find most accurate, I'll let you come to your own conclusions. But the first is it's named after a boy that was found up here by a shepherd. And the second is that it was a place of druid worship named after Simon Magnus, who claimed to be one of the three wise men. There we go. It actually stands at 485 metres or 1,591 feet above sea level, so it is quite a climb, as we've just realised. But because it's not too dramatic, it's said to be a good hill to start off with if you're a beginner. And in fact, it's bringing back some happy memories, because it was the first hill that my parents brought me up when I was about 7 or 8 years old. And I remember feeling this great sense of achievement when I'd conquered this mighty summit. Anyway, I think I'm going to sit here for a little while longer and enjoy these dramatic views and have my lunch to refuel after that steep climb and ahead of the climb back down towards Howgill Wood and the Wharf Valley, where we'll follow the River Wharf back towards the Cavendish Pavilion. Well, they say what goes up must come down, and we're now heading down off Simon's Seat and the dramatic moorland. As the views continue to splay out beside me, it's difficult to take your eyes off it, but as before, I'm keeping my eye on where I'm putting my feet, because it's suddenly become a little bit rocky again. Although at the top of the moor, it was absolutely brilliant. They'd laid these huge stone slabs, which must have taken a huge effort to get up there and put them down. But I was very much grateful for them, because they were stopping my feet from getting any muddier than they are already, because this section of moorland can get a bit boggy at times. We're heading down now towards Howgill Wood. And I know that even before I can see the trees, because there's a sweet smell of pine, that beautiful woodland smell on the air. The breeze is whipping it up onto the bottom edge of the moor. And once again, it's another one of those things that is tempting me on this walk. We've had quite a few of those so far. So I'm going to take one last look at this view before I'm enveloped in trees once again as we head down towards the Wharf Valley. What a lovely area of woodland to walk through. It's acted as a bit of a transition between the harsh, bleak moorland above and now back into the rolling, green, rural lands of the Yorkshire Dales that we all know and love. It's been a mixture of dense pine woodland, and then we've walked down this dry stone wall next to some young sycamore trees that have been planted in a higgledy-piggledy fashion on the hillside, just to break up the landscape a little bit. We're still reasonably high up. There's a bit of a descent yet to come, but I can see the little hamlet and farmstead of Howgill in the valley below, which is going to lead us nicely back down to the River Wharf, where we'll wander along to finish our walk. It seems a while since we were last walking alongside the River Wharfe before we started our epic journey up through the Valley of Desolation and onto the moors to find Simon's Seat. But now, having wound our way down through the woods and through the little hamlet as Howgill, we've made our way back down to the river, and we're now following it along, this time on our right-hand side, as we head back towards Barden Bridge, Strid Wood, and the Cavendish Pavilion, where we started this walk. As I walk alongside the river, I'm taking time to reflect on what we've seen so far, and maybe even what's to come. The walk is definitely not over yet. The river can always spring up lots of unique surprises. As we approach Barden Bridge and Strid Wood, I've just taken this moment to look at the other side of the river because there's something that's caught my eye. Above me are circling lots of sand martins that are flying around on the breeze, capturing flies as they fly by, skimming over the fields. Sand martins are very nimble birds on the wing, like swifts and swallows. And on the bank at the other side of the river, there are tiny little holes in the sand where the sand martins make burrows and have their nests. So they'll be collecting all of these insects on the wing and then taking them back to chicks that will be waiting for them hungrily, each in their little hole. It's a beautiful sight to see, and also quite a cacophony of sound as well as they chatter to one another. Just as you thought the climbing was over, we've entered Strid Wood and the path has kicked up again. I'm just taking a breather at what I think is the top of the hill, looking over the River Wharfe from this beautiful little shelter where there's birds hopping around everywhere. They must be well versed to people coming here and feeding them parts of their lunch. In fact, there's a robin right now, just about a foot away from my foot. I'm afraid I haven't got anything for you. As we've been walking through the wood, we've wound our way round through some beautiful bluebells. And although the season for them is nearly over and the ferns and the grasses are taking hold and drowning them out, they're still giving this beautiful, sweet, pungent fragrance that's filling the air around me and encouraging me up this hill. There's quite a few people around enjoying the landscape and the dappled sunlight coming through the trees. Anyway, I think it's about time that I carried on and headed back down towards the Cavendish Pavilion and the end of our epic walk today. Well, there it is. The Cavendish Pavilion is back in sight. What an epic journey it's been. I'm really glad you could join me to experience everything that we've experienced. We've walked 8.25 miles, we've climbed upwards of 1,000 feet, and we've witnessed and sensed so many different things, such a variety of the Yorkshire Dales and Bolton Abbey estate landscapes. It feels like we've covered everything in what seems like quite a while, but in reality, it's only just a short space of time. I do hope you've enjoyed joining me on this audio walk today. If you have, then please check out some more of our audio walks on the Bolton Abbey and Open Country websites. And I'd love you to join me on an audio walk again in the not too distant future. Until then, I hope you enjoy the rest of your day, whatever it is that you're doing, and that you look back or listen back to some of the memories that we've conjured up on this audio walk today to spur you on and help you to live through the countryside and the beauty that it provides us. Thank you very much for listening.